Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. Lord, our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And He has so many wonderful things to say to His people. He loves us so much. And He cares about us in every way and capacity. Everything that's important to us is important to the Lord. The Lord designed us to be as He is on earth. We have the body, and He is a spirit. When we involve Him in our lives and receive His word, we become fruitful. The first thing God said to man was, be fruitful. And now that we are born again, Jesus talked about us bearing fruit. In John chapter 15, He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And those branches that bear fruit, He prunes it. He purges it so it bears more fruit. This goes back to what Joshua was supposed to do. He was supposed to drive the Canaanites out of Canaan land. Promised land is where Canaan land was. He was supposed to purge it, drive out the inhabitants. If we're bearing fruit because we believed on Jesus and we are living His life, we're doing the ways of God, then He'll purge us so we can bear more fruit. Now, Ray Wilson explained this. He's a farmer and a scientist. And a minister. And he ministered over. He taught us about the grapevine. They prune the branches at a certain time of the season. And it will actually produce, it makes it more capable of producing grapes. Now the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, kindness, temperance, long-suffering, gentleness, all these fruits of the Spirit. There's nine of them. I might be able to do them all, but nevertheless, we bear fruit because we believe on Jesus. And a lot of Christians are trying to bear branches. And Ray pointed that out. Jesus didn't tell us to bear branches. He told us to bear fruit. If we bear fruit, that's we're doing our job. He's the vine. We're the branches. And we're designed to bear fruit. We work in cooperation with the Lord. We live the life that represents the Lord. And the Holy Spirit uses it. And He bears the branches. We bear the fruit. We do our part. The Holy Spirit does His part. Our goodness, our kindness, gentleness, our long-suffering. When people that are coming out of the world, they're not the nicest people, at first. When we first met a Pharisee, Saul, he was helping to kill Stephen. He was holding the jackets for the men that was killing him. But he heard the word, and the word was beginning to form life in him. And he was kicking against it because he was a Pharisee. He heard the word explained by the Holy Spirit, by a dying man, full of faith. He'd never seen anything like that before. And he was kicking against the truth. Because Stephen pointed out that Jesus is Lord. On his journey on the Damascus Road, Jesus knocked him down. He saw the light. He saw the glory of God. And said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, and it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. The word was showing him who Jesus was. And faith was forming. And when Jesus knocked him down, He called him Lord. Now, he went on to bear the fruits of the Spirit. He was long-suffering with everybody that was just as mean as he was. He understood their frustration. He understood their deception. He he understood their pride, and he had compassion on them. Now, a man pointed out that went to heaven and saw through some things, that love and hate produces compassion. You love God and you hate what's wrong, now you have compassion. In order to drive out the Canaanites, you gotta love God's will from the heart with all purity, and you gotta hate the witchcraft that they were doing. Because you're not just driving people out to take their land, you're driving them out so that their corruption will cease. You're driving them out so that they don't kill the next generation. You're driving out the anarchy. That's what you're driving out. It's not a personal. It wasn't personal when they drove out the Philistines and the Canaanites. Well, the Philistines stayed there. They're still there. The Palestinians were the ancient Philistines. They're the ancestors of the Philistines. So, and they caused this problem. Now see, if they had driven them out, then the Lord would have produced a holy stronghold on that land. Because God operates where there is purity. It would have been a pure nation. And you have to fight for it, because the enemy is always trying to stop it. The enemy tried to distract us so that we can't bear fruit. We're worried about this world and the things that go wrong. And he wants our problems to look bigger than God in our eyes and distract us from learning of who He is. We don't have to fall for foolishness. We can grow from glory to glory. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Now, with that being said, God is with us. He loves us. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to understand Him. Bear fruit. Let your moderation be known to all men. Bear fruit. The goal in life is to thrive in Christ, representing Him. Then the Holy Spirit will build on your life. He will not waste it. You're not doing the right thing for nothing. Doing what's right is proof of you, that you've overcome the world. You're putting patterns in place. Everybody that loves God and does His will, they're putting things in place that Satan has no chance of reversing. And it's important. If you love God, keep His commandments. If you love God, serve Him. If you love God, do His will. If you love God, bear fruit. Let it be your way of life. And the Holy Spirit will come. When people bear fruit and they become stable and mature, they become anointable. God can anoint a person that's mature. When I asked him his definition of the anointing, he said it's a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. Now, God won't give His ability to a child, somebody that's childlike. If a child is mature, yes, He can anoint a child. Anybody that's mature, He can anoint. He can put His Spirit on. And then, see, the anointing is of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit bears the branches. And He gives you the ability to do that by you bearing fruit. If you don't bear fruit, then He can't sanction you to do a great work of God. It don't happen that way. And people try to bear branches without bearing fruit. It won't work. And even if people that are anointed, the Lord anointed them in the past, and they started being corrupt, they start bearing corrupt fruit. And the people that follow them become corrupt. In other words, if a man loves God and he's lazy, he gets out of work, A lazy person is not just somebody that don't want to do anything. They actually manipulate and get out of doing things. And guess what? If that person is a pastor, they produce that kind of fruit. The people in the congregation will do the same thing unless they break through and bear fruit and become diligent. Anything that's not in leadership, hear me good. Anything they lack, you'll find yourself needing to break through it so that you can surpass wherever they sat down. You got to stand up. That's why you have to follow Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. If you have a good pastor, that's good. He's going to help you. He's doing his job. He's designed to help you. And he wants to help. He's a blessing. But look unto Jesus anyway. Listen to your pastor that's anointed. Be blessed. Serve with honor. But look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And you'll grow. David said it this way. He said, Thou through thy word has made me stronger. Has made me wiser. I'm sorry. Wiser than my enemy. But than my teacher. I get it right. Thou through thy word has made me wiser than my teachers. The word of God will make you, you'll be promoted beyond your teachers, your pastors, your leaders, even apostles. Don't think that you gotta stay under, don't think you can't grow beyond Apostle Paul. We look up to Paul because he set the pace. But if we keep on following the Lord, we'll grow beyond where Paul stopped, where John stopped, where Peter stopped. They will always be great men of God. It's not a competition. But the things that you'll be able to do will be greater than what they've done. Jesus said it this way. He said, he that believes will do greater works than me. So if you continue the process of growth and knowledge and experience in the Lord, you're going to do greater works than Jesus did. It already happened. God is ever progressing. If you're trying to stay in a paradigm, people think it's honorable to not do as well as that pastor. That's not true. If your pastor did a good job, if he did what he was supposed to do, you're gonna be able to run faster. So to speak, you're going to be able to do greater works because you learned what he pioneered at a younger age. And now God is going to be able to teach you greater things because you're living on top of what he's done. Our children are supposed to surpass us. If they don't, then something went wrong. Either they didn't listen or we didn't do our job as parents. Also, if you're not devoted to life, you're not going to live it. You have to have the conviction of God, the compassion of God to overcome and drive out the things that's not good. And I thank God for purging me so I can bear more fruit. Helping me lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets me. You can run so much greater. You can run a much greater distance with the light alone. But if you're trying to drag around some weight, people that's not trying to live right, I freed myself from people that don't want God in their life. I don't care who it is. If they don't want him, they just don't want him. If they don't have enough love in them to endeavor after the things of God, that's not my problem. I'm not supposed to bear branches, I'm supposed to bear fruit. I'm going to love and be long-suffering, but I'm going to run my race and not let them hinder me from running my race. I'm not going to try to make them run my race. I'm not going to try to make them run their race. They're on their own. They got to do it from their own heart. And that's very important. being dedicated to the things of God is personal. You don't have to do what others do. That's their worship. That's their gift to God. That's their business, not mine. But I want them to. I desire it. If I can help them, I'll do it. If there's anything I can say, I'll say it. But I started paying attention to the Holy Spirit. He told me to. And I had to stop trying to teach people that don't want me to teach them. And it's this freedom. And teach people that want to know him. At one point he said, stop teaching foolish pastors. And I stopped. If the Lord told me to say something, that's when I say something. But if he don't tell me to tell him, I stop doing it. You know, that was his order. He said, let those that be righteous still. Let those that be filthy, let them be filthy still. Don't interfere with what they decided to do of their own free will. Some people want to be in pride. They want to be like they are. They want to be a thief. They decided, don't stop doing it. Let them do it. They want to. Out of all the information that they've gained from this earth, from living, that's what they decided they wanted to do. It's not an accident. That's on purpose. But whatever people endeavor to do, it's on purpose. But people that want to know, I'll let them know. I'll tell them. I give them my testimony. I'll tell them how the Lord taught me in my struggles. If you desire to do God's will, it's a struggle. The struggle comes from worldly attachments and worldly attacks. The more you cut ties with the world, the more dedicated you become to God. The more you cut ties with the world and sever the attachments, and I do it by speaking that I hate worldly things, worldly situations, worldly lust, worldly greed, worldly pride. I hate it. I voice that I hate it. That's how I cut ties with it. And from there, I can live. And I can grow. And I can do better and greater. I can live beyond my best efforts. And I can do what I normally couldn't do. I have greater abilities. And guess what? The purging process helps me to bear more fruit. And then the Holy Spirit, the anointing mounts up. It gets greater. It can even get exponentially greater. You're anointed now. In 10 years, that anointing will have expanded. You'll have more of God's ability. You can say things. You can say fewer words that's charged with the life of God. And it can break yokes. You can transfer thoughts of the Holy Spirit in a greater way. See, when the Lord put, when he changed, he said, though many that are last will be first, and many that are first will be last. The people that are, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes the people that were first for a long time, and they get put last, they still hold their position. They still on TV. They still taking in tons of money. But they are anointing. I believe the anointing that was on their life. It didn't grow on their life. And then they betrayed it by when they stopped bearing fruit. And then they start bearing poor fruit, because they didn't bear the fruit of God, God couldn't anoint them like he once did. And then the people that come up under that ministry, they're doing what they're doing. And they're not bearing fruit. They're unproductive. They became sterile. Not in a cleansing way, but they stopped producing fruit. But here comes a guy the Lord pours an anointing on him, and he's poor. He doesn't have anything. He dresses in sackcloth. That's all he got. But he got the anointing. The Lord can take his words, his actions, his activity, and bear more fruit than the people on TV. He was put first. He can talk a few minutes and break yokes that have held people back for years. Now this is happening in this uncomfortable revival. Many that are last are first. Many that were first are last. But in the eyes of people, they may not look like they're first, and they may not look like they're last, but from God's point of view, it's true. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you in Jesus Christ. Our wonderful Savior is Lord.